For anyone who hasn't had it happen to them, they don't understand how deep and how dark it is. It consumes you. It's not just on the field. It never goes away. It's this ongoing battle with your own brain. You know what you want to do in your heart, but your body and brain won't let you do it. These were the words of Rick Ankiel, a baseball player for the St. Louis Cardinals, after a struggle with anxiety ended his pitching career. Athletes in today's society are often viewed as more than human. The feats they are capable of seem to us extraordinary and mind-boggling, and events such as the Super Bowl and Olympics only add to these ideas. Runners who are able to run miles on end or sprint a 100 meter in mere seconds. Powerful gymnasts who seem to have perfect balance, cool and collected as they flip and jump in ways you could never imagine doing yourself. And skaters who seem to soar across the ice with ease as they perform impossible stunts and tricks. However, despite all of this, athletes are still just as human as we are, if not more. An athlete, like us, still has to deal with the stress of everyday life, work, money, and family, all while juggling the extra stress of their sport, keeping up their practices, avoiding injury, and performing well. In the world of athletics, most people are onlookers. Whether we watch from the TV or the sidelines, we are not the person actively experiencing what an athlete feels. Yet, so many of us forget to see the person behind the sport. We shake our heads at an injured athlete because that's one less person to compete, not because that's one more person injured. Physical health and mental health belong to two different worlds, or at least that's what we so often imagine. Perhaps it's what we prefer to imagine. But the truth is, they are two sides of the same coin, and what links them together is nutrition. I'm sure everyone is familiar with the phrase, you are what you eat. You hear it more when you're a kid, obsessed with sugar and sweets, and needing a gentle warning not to eat yourself into a stomach ache or food coma. But the phrase is true. You are indeed what you eat, just not in the literal sense. The brain functions thanks to the work of neurons and neuron transmission. Neuron transmission is the process of cells, those being neurons, communicating with one another in the brain in order to produce thoughts, memories, and actions. Everything you need to live and be you is thanks to this process. However, neurotransmission does not occur out of thin air. Rather, it relies on a certain organic compound called amino acids. Amino acids can be obtained through different kinds of foods. One article written by a group of 14 different nutrition-based authors titled Feeding the Brain, The Importance of Nutrition for Brain Functions and Health, explains which foods have which amino acids and what each acid does specifically for the mind. Two examples that stand out the most are adrenaline and serotonin, hormones that enable the body's fight or flight response and regulate a person's mood. Adrenaline is synthesized through an amino acid called phenylalanine, which is found in foods such as walnuts, almonds, meat, cheese, and fish. The body is physically unable to produce phenylalanine, which means it relies fully on food in order to process and create adrenaline for the body. Meanwhile, serotonin is synthesized through an amino acid called tryptophan, which is also only acquired through foods such as cocoa, bananas, green vegetables, almonds, whole grains, meat, yeast, and fish. And if the body doesn't produce enough serotonin, the effects become detrimental for a person's mental health as they begin to experience symptoms ranging from depression and personality disorders to insomnia, poor memory, and migraines. So yes, the old saying is true. You are what you eat, because inside those foods are compounds necessary for the mind to function, and the mind is what makes you, you. But why am I relating all of this to physical health? So far, it sounds like everything I have listed has been directly linked to mental health and mental health alone. So where does the physical aspect come in? The answer has actually been hinted at previously already. Let's focus again on serotonin. Low serotonin negatively impacts a person's mental health. Late nights spent awake and worried, long days filled with a lack of energy and exhaustion, and constant mood swings making it difficult to interact with others. All of this impacts a person's life, especially if said person is an athlete. Mental health and physical health are bound together by nutrition, and if one is thrown off, the other is thrown off as well. For example, Rick Ankiel was unable to continue competing due to his crippling anxiety, causing him to fail his pitches. I believe this is where so many people stumble in their understanding, or at least where they would rather ignore the truth. I myself am an athlete, and from my own personal experience, I have heard firsthand sayings and beliefs about how running, I will use running as my example since that is my sport, will help me feel better if I'm ever struggling or upset. This saying stems from the fact that during a run, the body produces adrenaline and endorphins, which have a lingering effect after a tough workout. This effect has a term referred to as the runner's high, and from my experience, loved by all who have experienced it. I felt it too, but because of that, I also know it doesn't last. Give it an hour or less, and you'll feel exactly the same as before you ran. Exercise is good for the body, but it alone cannot fix the mind. If you ask me, mental health can be one of the biggest detriments to an athlete's career and life. In fact, ask any athlete who has struggled with some sort of anxiety, depression, or simple hardship, and they'll tell you the same. Simone Biles, a star in the gymnastics world, stated to press after withdrawing from her competition during the 2021 Olympics, "I say put mental health first, because if you don't, then you're not going to enjoy your sport, and you're not going to succeed as much as you want to. So it's okay sometimes to sit out, even on the big event competitions, to focus on yourself, because it shows how strong of a competitor and person that you really are, rather than just battle through it. The brain is the most important organ in the body. If the brain is sick, the body is sick. So when anxiety, depression, and stress put a strain on the mind, they put a strain on the body as well. The first and most common being insomnia, an inability to sleep, which leads to a constant tiredness and a lack of energy that is a struggle for anyone, but even worse for athletes who are expected to do double or triple the work an average person would do. Sitting versus running are two polar opposite activities and burn a vastly different amount of calories. By sitting for an hour, a person can burn up to 75 calories. But if that person was to run 1 mile at a 13-minute pace, they could burn up to 334 calories. That's a 259-calorie difference for just 1 mile. An average woman or man living a sedentary lifestyle requires a daily intake of 1,800 to 2,000 calories for a woman, or 2,200 to 3,200 calories for a man. That means that, though depending on speed, every mile run creates a bigger gap between what they need to eat and what an average person needs to eat. Because if they don't get enough food and calories, they don't get enough energy. And if they don't get enough sleep, the same issue occurs. But it goes much further than mental health affecting energy levels, and energy levels affecting athletic capabilities. These are only the outward observations that can be easily made. But why did Rick Ankiel and Simone Biles break away from their sport? It wasn't a lack of energy for them. They could still physically perform the sport. However, their performances were hindered by something else. When a person or athlete struggles with anxiety or depression, it isn't just the symptoms that prevent them from living out their life normally. Sports are a physically based activity and rely on an athlete being in good physical shape. But they are also a mental activity as well and require a tough mind and strong willpower. Once again, I will bring up my own experience as an athlete within my own sport to prove my point. I have been running cross country for 2 years now, and although I know it's not a lot compared to my teammates or other endurance runners, it has been enough to teach me what the sport is like. My very first year on the team, our motto was embrace the grind. When it comes to a sport, especially if it is your first year to compete, it takes both physical and mental preparation. For an endurance athlete, the body must be able to handle running mile after mile with no stopping and no water until you reach the end. But the mind has to do the exact same thing. The brain may not be doing any taxing physical work, but it is in control of your body, and that is what's doing the work. If the mind is weak, if you let negativity consume you, you will never get better. You'll find yourself thinking, "Why should I run that extra mile? I'm tired. My legs are sore. My lungs ache. I'm not even the fastest, so what am I adding to the team anyway? They can do just as well without me. I just can't do this anymore." This is how an athlete fails. The mind is what gives us power over the body, so that even when we're hurting, and even when we want to stop, our mind is powerful enough to say, "Not today, not now, not yet." It pushes us to run the extra mile, take that extra step when no one else can or will. An athlete will only ever be as much as they allow themselves to be. When you want something, you will work for it, even when it hurts. But that isn't easy. Even for a determined athlete, it will never be easy. Every practice is a battle between body and mind. If the mind isn't strong enough, the body wins. Rick Ankiel's anxiety inhibited him from pitching like he used to. He took a break before returning to the sport again. Simone Biles faced the same issues and took a break as well. Athletes are human. They may get up earlier, or work longer, or be able to do more, but at the end of the day, they are just like all of us. We get tired, stressed, and angry at our own lives and own problems. Athletes feel the same. After all, no sport is easy, and oftentimes the struggle to improve or learn something new can be mentally exhausting as well as physically. Athletes need their own breaks. They need to feel they can take time off without being shunned for being weak. Needing a rest, needing to let your mind recover, is not weakness. Why should we allow an athlete to rest from a physical injury, but not a mental one? At the end of the day, they both do the same damage. People should be taught to understand nutrition, more than simply knowing that food is calories and that too many can be bad for you. Nutrition is so much more than counting calories to lose weight. Nutrition is science and biology. It's the difference between sickness and health, success and failure. It's the link between physical health and mental health, and the key to an athlete's success. The body is like a machine. No one part can work on its own. Physical health is what allows the body to work. Mental health is what allows the body to work smoothly, all while nutrition is the oil that enables everything to functionally proper.